You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. To connect with the program today, please send an email to andrew.bush@comcast.net. That's andrew.bush@comcast.net. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back to Engage with Andy Bush and our special Andy speech from the Money Show Las Vegas, talking about what Congress is going to do. In this segment, we dive really fully into tax reform and the outlook of what's going to happen there. Take a listen. Let me know your thoughts. All right, let me just keep going through this. This is what Republicans want to do, mainly, you know, or generally speaking. Not all Republicans want to do this, but you have to be careful with this. Because, again, if you close loopholes, you're going to hurt people that are going to make new capital investments, especially if you take away accelerated depreciation. So keep that in mind. If you change something in the tax code, remember, it's going to hurt somebody. And most of the stuff, right, that's in the tax code is there for a reason. Because the tax code is the worst possible tax code on the planet, right? It taxes income and it taxes capital creation. And we have a lot of the things that are in there, like accelerated depreciation, to help companies overcome the bad nature of the code. So not all the things that are in there, not all these exemptions are bad. Some of them are really good. Think about, you know, making a large capital investment for a manufacturer. You want to be able to write that stuff off as quickly as possible, and that helps them. What's fascinating on the dynamic on some of the tax reform is some of the bigger companies that have already made these investments are fighting against the changes to reduce it because they like the structure of the code because it benefits them. And that's why you really got to force the rate down. And finally, this is one thing that I do want to point out, so you want to keep an eye on this, is overseas earnings. Because there's about $2 trillion right now of earnings that are held overseas because there is a 35% tax if you pay those back to the parent company on a dividend. So as dividend repatriation is really expensive to do. And that's why Apple, right, which is a huge amount of cash, over $50 billion in cash, issued a bond recently, a couple years ago. Why would they do that? Seems like incomprehensible. Well, because they want to pay dividends or they want to do share buybacks, and they don't want to move that money overseas back to the parent. That's why you get all these financial gymnastics going on. And it's really inefficient. Yes, companies can access that money by doing those kind of bond things, but it's a cost, right? And I'm a University of Chicago guy, so I'm a big efficiency guy. So I want to take away as much of that nonsense as possible. Let companies do whatever they want to do with their money. Obviously, they've earned it. But this is something you got to keep an eye on. So this is going to be what we call a pay for. They're going to tax those overseas earnings, and the president has already made a proposal where he forces them to bring that money back. So who's this going to hurt? Big tech and big pharma, because they have the most overseas earnings. As a matter of fact, I think the latest numbers, although they're kind of in flux a little bit, I think they're up to at least 25% of the money that's held overseas is just from those two sectors, probably close to $500 billion. And so that's what Congress is looking at, not only on the Democrat side and the White House, but also on the Republicans. They're eventually going to tax this and bring it back. Because we have this stupid thing called extraterritorial tax code where we try to tax the overseas earnings. It doesn't make any sense. We're one of the few countries that attempts to do it. We need to change that. So you're going to hear that language a lot moving forward. So just keep that in mind. So those are the sectors. Yes, sir.
It's been done before. Why can't these idiots in Washington adopt it like a 10% tax? Let them bring that money back.
Right.
Force them to use it back here for infrastructure and things that we need. It's so simple. Why can't they see?
Well, so the question is, why can't they force these companies? Why can't they get their heads together and do this and change that law from 35% down to 10%? Excellent suggestion. It's been done before. I worked on it as an outside advisor during the Bush administration. So in 2005, we cut the tax from 35% to 5.25%. And $400 billion plus moved back into the United States. It was a one-year repatriation deal, over $400 billion moved back almost in the last quarter of that year. And they generated a lot more tax revenue because they paid the tax, right? So these companies are not paying tax on these earnings. Why can't they do it? Well, one of the problems with what we did back then was we tried to set up parameters why to have these companies, while they move the money back, to create jobs and so on. It's really hard to force a company to do that. It's really hard to enforce it on them, because once that money moves back, how do they segment it to create a new business or to create a new plant, to hire new people? My thinking on it is this: let them do whatever they want with it. Generally, it's really good. If you have over $1.7 trillion or $2 trillion moved back to the United States, how can that be a bad thing? Let's say they buy back debt. Well, doesn't that make the company healthier? Sure. Let's say they buy back shares. Doesn't that make their stock price go up? And shareholders, who many people are in this country, isn't that a good thing? You bet it is. Let's say they actually build a plant, because now they don't have that restriction on their flow of their money and they can make better decisions, right? That's also a good thing. Right now, we're incenting them to keep the money over there. And they already want to build plants overseas because their sales are overseas. So we're incenting them. We're just giving them the green light to do it. So I'm sorry I'm getting a little excited about this, but it drives me nuts. So I'm sure you feel the same way, right? Yeah, it's crazy. So I think they'll get there. One of the reasons why I think tax reform will happen, and I just want to be cognizant of the time, is because we had a change in leadership in the Central Tax Writing Committee of Congress, and that is the House Ways and Means Committee. And you probably heard of this name, Paul Ryan. He is now the chair of the Ways and Means Committee, and he is moving forward on this. Now, the past chair, Dave Camp, came up with a tax reform plan. As Steve mentioned, it was like 900 pages. Steve Forbes mentioned this. It was a mess because he tried to make it revenue neutral, meaning it would not decrease the amount of money that came into the United, into the IRS. I think that's a huge mistake for a number of reasons. They use static analysis, and dynamic analysis is really the way you want to go. I don't want to get too inside baseball here with DC. But Ryan is working on this. I feel very strongly he will present something to Congress. I think something will come out of his committee. It may not be necessarily this summer. I think it's got a good shot at coming out sometime in October and November. And that will be the template for what happens in 2016 with the presidential candidates that are out there. And that will get enacted sometime, I believe, in 2017. But you have to have the right president to do it. Right now, we don't, because President Obama believes this is a revenue-raising exercise as far as tax reform goes, and he will never sign whatever the Republicans come up with. So I know that's disappointing to hear, that nothing's going to happen for a while, but let me tell you something. It's better that they take their time and do it right than move forward and get this thing completely wrong. And I'm a firm believer in this. I know you're sitting there going skeptically, cynically, saying, Andy, for goodness sakes, are you kidding me? Really? You think this Congress is going to come up with something positive? I've been going to Washington, D.C. for 12 years, meeting with the guys that are on these committees, meeting with their staffs, meeting with the people that have written the code for the last 40 years in Congress, meeting with the think tanks that cover this stuff, meeting with the lobbyists that obviously lobby for these changes. Now more than ever, over these last 12 years, there is momentum to do something. And momentum means a lot. It's glacial at times. I mean, it's really annoying. But the fact that the former Ways and Means Committee wrote the language, the legislative language for a tax reform, provided some of the groundwork that needed to get done. Ryan steps in. This is what he wants to do. He is not running for president because he wants to do tax reform. And I think that's a really healthy thing. I want you to be very aware of it, because there's gonna be big winners and losers on this. And I can't give you a specific answer right now on who those guys are. I will tell you that the multinational companies with overseas earnings have a bullseye on their back, because they have not paid taxes on those earnings at all. So my belief is that you gotta keep an eye on them, because they will definitely lose in this if it's not structured properly. All right, that said, let me go quickly through some of these other things. Cybersecurity, you're going to hear a lot about this. The Patriot Act has to get reauthorized by the end of this month. There's a big fight over the data collection in Section 2115 or 215A or something like that. That is crazy. But the The House has passed it. The Senate has not. They've got this the Freedom Act. I believe that was passed by the House recently. The Senate is in negotiations right now, and they're fighting amongst themselves because presidential candidates like Rand Paul are saying no to the NSA collecting data on their bulk data. I completely agree there needs to be a heck of a lot more oversight on this and really keep an eye on these guys. It's so much worse than most of you know about what they do and how much they collect. Just as an example, they collected information on Americans, U.S. citizens who are Palestinians, and they shared that information with the Israelis. So what does that mean? That means anything that these people were talking about with their relatives in the occupied territories was shared with the Israelis. The Israelis, in turn, could take that information and discredit these people publicly, talking about their personal lives, talking about divorces, talking about their tax situations, all the things that we discussed back and forth on email. That's what the bulk collection is. And everyone in this room is affected by it. So think about that for a moment. I'm not trying to be like crazy, but the more you look into this, the more dangerous it is. And the more you realize that it's a serious situation that has helped our country remain safer than where we were in 2001, for sure. But it also comes with major problems, and we've got to resolve this. So keep that in mind. With that, I will say that the bulk collection, one of the biggest problems is that they don't want to reauthorize it. So if they don't reauthorize it for the NSA, then the cell phone companies who do collect this data are going to come under scrutiny because the NSA and other CIA will probably ask them for information. And then it's a question of lawsuits against these companies, and they're fighting with Congress right now, these companies, to make sure that they're not in between. Yeah, they're getting in the middle, exactly. And so that's the danger for those particular companies. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But this is something that's going on. You're going to hear a lot about this, and especially a lot about this from, like I said, people like Rand Paul. There's other people in Congress that are very concerned about this. The Senate Majority Leader McConnell wants to pass, just reauthorize it the way that it is. And that's not going to go anywhere, I don't think, right now. So it's going to be a fun fight to see what happens. But there will be, again, winners and losers coming up on this. All right, well, let's leave it there and take a time out. In the next segment, we'll talk about energy and cybersecurity. You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush, my Money Show speech from Las Vegas. We'll be right back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. Does your organization lack proper leadership? We're not necessarily talking about experience, but about how to face the changing dynamic of leadership today. Sometimes the people we lead know more. Old ways don't work anymore, and the comfort zone just becomes too easy. Listen for Out of the Comfort Zone with Dr. Wanda Wallace. We'll show you how you can adapt and develop your leadership skills to today's workplace every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Business.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.